Shabbat Shalom. Today's parsha is Mishpatim. It's found in Exodus 21:1 through 24:18. Mishpatim, it's Hebrew for laws or rules or ordinances. And this parsha, it has a whole lot of laws and covering a number of different ordinances and so forth. It doesn't have a lot of story to it. It's just a whole bunch of rules and regulations and so forth. Okay, there is a well-known Jewish midrash or a story that says that the Lord initially offered the Torah to each of the 70 nations that were in existence then, but nobody accepted it. They wanted to know what was in it, and after they found out, they decided they didn't want to do it. It said that the Ishmaelites, they didn't want to do it because the law condemned stealing and theft, and that was part of their trading practices. But when it was offered to the Israelites, they said that all that the Lord says we will do, all the Lord says what to do, we will do. Okay, so the heart of the Jews was saying yes to the Lord, just as a child would say yes to his father and trust his father that he knows what's best for them. There was, among some of the laws, there were civil laws, criminal laws, ritual laws, financial laws, family laws. Within this, there's we find the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. There's certain laws regarding certain kinds of theft. It was kind of interesting that if somebody stole an ox, they had to pay back five ox. But if they stole a sheep, they only had to pay back four sheep. And you wonder, well, why the difference? Well, Rashi, who was a noted a noted commentator, he said, well, and he says, the reason for a sheep stealing a sheep was less than stealing an ox was because the thief had to carry the ox or carry the sheep around his shoulders and run with the sheep on his shoulders. And that was supposed to be like an embarrassment because, well, he was embarrassed for running through the streets with the sheep on his shoulders, that was kind of part of the punishment. That was Rashi's theory. Kind of nutty, but that's what he said. Okay, slavery. Slavery was socially accepted. Okay, and it was practiced in a humane way, and there were specific rules. Okay, hang on just a second. I'll just have to squint. Okay, if a male was married, when he became a slave. Okay, and after 6 years, he can leave and take his wife with him. Okay, if he was married after becoming a slave, his wife was his master's property. But then he could refuse to leave and stay with his wife and become a slave for life. And that was signified by taking him to a doorpost and boring a hole in his ear. Not his actual ear, but in his earlobe. Okay, the significance of the doorpost, okay, we saw when on Passover, blood was applied to the doorpost, why not? Okay, in a Jewish home, you'll see the mezuzah, where? On the doorpost. What do we say in the Torah? Write the laws on your doorpost of your houses and your gates. Okay, so this was significant, and there was blood involved because you're not going to bore a hole through somebody's earlobe and not have blood. So there was blood involved as well. So he was a love slave because he wanted to be. He didn't have to be. He had the right to go if he wanted to, but he chose to stay. Okay, interesting about being a love slave, okay, is that Paul, James, Peter, and Jude all refer to themselves as bondservants or slaves of Christ. And so we, as believers in Yeshua, we're love slaves to the Lord. Okay. Another thing with the Jewish, let me back up just one little bit, that these were Hebrew slaves that had this option to leave. And they could become a slave basically by two ways, is that they were caught stealing and couldn't pay back the money, so they became a slave, kind of like the debtor's prison, you know, or they were in poverty and they sold themselves, you know, to be a slave so they can be supported. Otherwise, the other slaves were just like taken in captivity and those kind of slaves, and they didn't have those same rights. Although they did have rights, all slaves had rights not to be beaten to death and abused, okay? So as far as women slaves, a father could sell his daughter into slavery, but the hope was that either the master would take her to be his wife, or the son would take her to be his wife. But if they decided that they didn't want her, then she had to be redeemed. But you couldn't sell her just to anybody. It had to be redeemed by a member of the family. So there were specific rules for that. There were a lot of things with involving restitution. If you were responsible for somebody's oxen or something and something happened to it, you were responsible. If your bull went over next door and gored the neighbor to death, then you were held accountable. If you knew about it, if you knew, like, this is a vicious bull and you didn't do anything about it and he got over there, then they took you out too, you know, so there was a lot of responsibility and a lot of things like that. Also mentioned in here are the three pilgrimage festivals. Passover, the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Sabbath. Okay, all these were readdressed. You know, they already knew about these things and what they were and what they were involved in. But God said, you know, you work 7 days, you know, and or 6 days and rest on the seventh. The land, was supposed to rest. The Shemitah is in here. We heard about the Shemitah, you know, for the last 2 years, the Shemitah and the blood moons and all that stuff with the Shemitah, you know. And God had mercy on us, you know. Nothing happened this last Shemitah that we know of, but God had mercy. And I think that's what was going on there. But the Shemitah was definitely something that was supposed to happen. And because they didn't obey that, they spent 70 years in Babylon, 1 year for each of the years that they didn't keep the Shemitah. Okay, so that's really important. But as far as the Passover and the tabernacles and all that, that's partially fulfilled and partially unfulfilled. When Christ comes back again in the millennial reign, those are going to be reinstituted. We're going to have to make that pilgrimage to Jerusalem when Jesus is reigning on a throne physically in Jerusalem. Okay? So that's not going to go away anytime soon. As far as the Sabbath is concerned, the Sabbath has always been the Sabbath, and the millennial reign is a Sabbath. We're not going to have to worry about working for anything other than resting in the Lord. So that's going to be a great time, and I hope you're there. I plan to be. And if you're in Jesus, if he is your rest, then you'll be there. Shabbat Shalom.